With the 8th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington.
And that's where things got really interesting. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. First night of the draft delivered because we got that stunner. Now, Michael Penix going to the Falcons, Perloff, I think most people and most football fans thought this was the stupidest pick they've seen, considering they just handed Kirk Cousins a 2-year guaranteed $100 million contract, and now you take a 24-year-old Michael Penix? Make this make sense.
Well, okay, there's a couple reasons you can make this work. So, basically, Kirk Cousins is coming off an Achilles, so you have an automatic backup who's getting $5 million a year. This is a, you know, you can look at it like that. The opportunity cost was they didn't get another player at 8, but they have a very cost-controlled backup, which they need. Backup's probably more important here than any, you know, maybe the Jets. Because you have Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles, hasn't been able to, you know, he's been healthy into that. So you need a good backup, right? So this is a really, really good price for a backup. So that's good. And then you have a succession plan. The Packers, their argument is there's two reasons. They're not going to be bad enough to get into the top 10 for a quarterback. Also, they have this penalty. As I mentioned, I think on Tuesday, they have this huge penalty coming for tampering. They might lose their first round pick, so this is their shot to get a first round quarterback.
Wait a minute, hold on one second. First of all, you want a good backup quarterback like Jacoby Brissett. You want a good backup quarterback. You don't want the backup quarterback is now a threat to the starter. That's the last dynamic that you want to set up. You want your backup quarterback, Cooper Rush. Give me that guy as a backup quarterback. I know he's not going to threaten Dak Prescott. Backup quarterbacks who can win me some games.
Those guys are more expensive than Penix.
But that's okay. But you just set up a dynamic where you now have split the locker room and the fan base. This is the last thing you want. You don't want the vice president to overshadow the presidential nominee. Everybody knows this. So, you know, Bill Belichick was on the Pat McAfee broadcast last night, and we might end up referencing that quite a bit because he dropped a lot of gems.
No.
Oh, me. You might not. Okay, I will.
Can we take a counter for Maggie's Bill Belichick references? It's like there were 32 teams in existence, or former nemesis Bill Belichick was on stage. You know, there were actual draft picks happening besides Bill Belichick analyzing them.
But none of the people are ever tell the truth, and Belichick was up there at least seeming to tell the truth because he was actually critical of some of the draft picks, so I felt like I was getting real analysis. Anyway, put that to the side. Belichick last night said, if you're drafting quarterbacks high, you've got to play them right away. Now, that didn't mean week one. He's saying once you get to where they're ready, maybe week 4, 5, 6, something like that, you've got to play the first round picks. And so with Penix, how is he going to see the field for 2 years when you've given Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed like 3 weeks ago?
Well, there's a great chance he sees the field this year because Cousins is gimpy. I mean, who knows? I think Cousins is a bit risky, which you're like, that could have been a mistake signing him. But you listen, he's going to play this year. We all know that, right? I mean, Cousins is not going to last 17 games coming off a torn Achilles.
Okay, so let's set that up. So Kirk Cousins, 35, coming off the Achilles. Yeah. Let's say Michael Penix comes in. Again, he's 24. This is not J.J. McCarthy, who's 21 years old, right? Or one of these super young QBs.
Right.
He's been to two different programs. He's seasoned. He's had a lot of game film. Let's say he's great. Now what do you do?
Well,
because now you're on the awesome thing, which is having a rookie quarterback on their rookie contract where you want to maximize their window, but you can't because you gave all this money to Kirk Cousins.
Well, you have a 5-year window. So first 2 years of Kirk, then you get rid of Kirk. First of all, that's a problem they would love to have. The Penix was awesome. That's not a big problem. The thing about Bill Belichick, he always drafted quarterbacks behind Brady, and he never played any of them. So
second rounders, not eighth overall, Perloff.
Well, okay.
That's very different. You have to admit that. It's just a top 10 pick on a quarterback.
He took Jimmy G in the second round and had no intention of playing him. So
it's a second round. This is top 10, dude. You know that's different.
But also, too, this thing about the locker room being divided or the city being divided, who cares? This is football. All that matters is the X's and O's. Like, who cares about any of that?
Well, there was a reason that the Bears felt like they couldn't keep Justin Fields in the building.
Well, no. I mean, Justin Fields is a way different situation. Kirk Cousins is 35 coming off an Achilles. Justin Fields is 24.
Oh, I get it. I'm just saying there is a dynamic that I think you'd be foolish to ignore. And it'd be foolish to ignore the fact that you could be setting up here something where your $100 million that you spend could be worth absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that's true. But would you be shocked if Michael Penix was a Pro Bowler in Atlanta? If that's the case, then this works.
But when? When do I see him?
3 years.
Okay, see, that's not, I don't love that, because that could work maybe for Green Bay, but that was a really unique circumstance. Kirk Cousins is not going to the Hall of Fame like Aaron Rodgers is. Kirk Cousins is not winning MVPs like Aaron Rodgers was. Because here's the thing about the drafting a quarterback. We're obviously talking about the Atlanta Falcons, who took Michael Penix Jr. in a surprise move at the 8th pick overall last night. Perloff likes it. He thinks this is a good, cheap backup quarterback. I think it's silly.
I'm not saying I would have made that pick.
I see
the logic. I definitely see the logic where nobody else is seeing any logic.
So here's the thing about the whole 5-year window with the first round quarterbacks. Is it really? Because I'm watching Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, your guy Jalen Hurts, who actually was a second round pick. I'm seeing all these guys who are young, and when they're good, they're getting paid right away. They're getting paid after year three. We'll see. Tua might still even cash in after year four. You don't actually end up making it. You know, you I guess start the clock a little bit later on the contract, but you're still committing huge amounts of future dollars to them. It makes team building a lot more difficult.
Well, you know, Jordan Love, I think they have some cost control. They're kind of going to 5 years because
Let's wait till that extension kicks in.
But it doesn't, you know, if they're put in a position where Michael Penix earns a $180 million contract, they're going to be psyched. You know, because there's no future for Kirk Cousins. Where's the team going with him?
Well, then why did you sign him?
Because you're going to win the division this year. So you get a division win this year, and then you have a succession plan a la Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Here's the thing. You probably weren't going to get Penix later. So if you really wanted Michael Penix as your succession plan, why not take him? And let's talk about for 1 second, who did they really skip? Like, everyone's like, oh, they could have Dallas Turner there. It doesn't seem like there was that much demand for Dallas Turner, the Alabama edge rusher. Who were they going to get that was going to make such a big impact this year?
Anybody? Because here's the thing.
Anybody. No, this is why. Give me a player.
This is why. Because anybody who could possibly get on the field this year, where you just took a depth piece and, yes, maybe the future succession plan piece, and you're trying to win the division this year and probably go further than that. So instead of using a top 10 pick to get something that could be useful this year, you're acting like rookies never play. I mean, they do.
They rarely make a huge
impact. I watched Kansas City start 3 rookies in their secondary and win a freaking Super Bowl 2 years ago against your Eagles.
Yeah, none of those were first-round picks, by the way. But look at the guys who went after. Roma Dunze, if they'd taken another wide receiver, we would have also killed them because they've been taking nothing but skill positions. They weren't going to take McCarthy. They have an offensive line. They don't need them. So basically, the pick everyone's saying they should have taken a defensive guy. Obviously, nobody else had a defensive guy at number 8 on their board. I don't think these defensive guys were so great that they had to take them at 8. Everyone said they needed an edge rusher. Maybe, but get him in the second round. I don't think that this was an elite defensive first-round class. So maybe this draft fell in a way that they had to take the quarterback they
wanted. They could have traded back.
I don't know. Not if they love Penix, though, who knows? He easily could have gone.
Okay, well, that's besides the point. Because anybody who gets on the field could have been a contributor, whereas you're going to have Penix, he's going to sit. There's no way he's going to beat out Kirk Cousins.
But he is a contributor in the sense that he is a backup quarterback. Like, a lot of teams pay $7 to $10 million for their backup quarterback. He's fitting in that role. Okay. So that's something. That's more important than the third string guard.
Well, it's somebody, let's not say they're the third string guard. It could be someone who actually contributes. But again, we're talking about Michael Penix Jr. This is the surprise of the draft last night. One of them, but the big one is that the Atlanta Falcons take him with 8. You know, this is like the other part of it. If you already had a division that you thought was winnable with Kirk Cousins, right? Like, Michael Penix has not been a surprise to anybody. He's been playing in big games in Washington. Everyone knew that he's there. So Kirk Cousins gets signed in March. March 26 was free agency. And that's when Kirk Cousins signs $100 million guaranteed with the Falcons. You already watched Michael Penix in the college football playoff and also in the championship game. You have an idea that you might like this guy. Okay, maybe you haven't dug into like every single part of him, but don't you have an idea that you do like him before you offer this big contract to Cousins? If you were going to use a top 10 pick on a quarterback, why weren't you just there scouting the quarterbacks? And like, again, Penix didn't fall from the sky. He's been in our life now for a couple of years at Washington.
Well, I think that they want to win the division this year. They see an opportunity, and they have a better chance with a veteran. So Penix is 23. I think they're like, well, we'll get Penix in there at 25. It's as simple as that. You're right. Maybe it's flawed thinking. It's not classic team building.
Yeah.
But if you told me, pull back a second.
Okay.
And I said you can sign Kirk Cousins for $100 million.
Kirk Millions should be his nickname. He's so rich for doing absolutely nothing. Yes.
2-year contract. It's definitely not going to kill you. It's definitely not among the richer quarterbacks because you can get rid of him in 2 years. So you can do that, and I'm guaranteeing you a division title. Would you do that even knowing you're taking Michael Penix? I'm giving it to you right now. You're 10-7. You're winning the NFC South.
Perloff, it's the NFC South. Let's not make it out to be murderer's row here.
Yeah, but Atlanta's not winning it now.
Okay, but with Kirk Cousins, they win it.
Great. So
With any other competent quarterback. Ritter and Heinicke, that was just, and Mariota.
Right, like, that's why they brought in Cousins to win now, and they just love Penix. And, you know, this is, the draft is a future play. I think their thinking is not as awful as people say. If they love this guy, they're not getting another shot at a Michael Penix. When are they going to see another Michael Penix?
I have no idea. I mean, quarterbacks, like, they emerge, you know? And maybe their first-round pick is going to get taken away because of the tampering thing. So Kirk has cost you, now how much has Kirk Cousins cost you? $100 million and potentially a future pick?
They're going to be like the Steelers that have to take Kenny Pickett at 21. This is, their logic that they're not going to get another shot at quarterback is actually true. Because next year's draft is obviously not going to be great at quarterbacks, and they're not going to be a top 10 team unless Kirk Cousins gets hurt. And if Kirk Cousins gets hurt, then the Penix worked out. It's not as awful a pick as I think. And honestly, they've been terrible at picking anyway. They probably would have taken like a wide receiver.
Oh, God. Another wide receiver.
Yeah.
Can't have too many.
I don't even know, by the way.
No clue who's throwing to.
You know what's kind of funny about the Atlanta? Did you ever hear a left tackle or right tackle for them? They must be really set with their line because that never came up once. I just think that everyone's like Dallas Turner or Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle out of Texas. I don't think those guys are that great because they all fell well below where Penix went at 8.
Well, was it falling or was this just was an unprecedented offensive-minded draft where the first 14 picks of the first round are all on the offensive side of the ball? And I think it's two things. One, obviously, this has become way more of an offensive league. But two, scoring was down last year. So I think it was a reaction to that where defenses have started maybe to figure out a little bit of the Sean McVay offense or the Kyle Shanahan offense. And so now you feel like you need more, especially offensive linemen, to try to get those dynamic running games going. And this is what you saw. And, of course, wide receivers.
Right, but everyone said they should have taken Dallas Turner, the Alabama edge. If he's so great, then how come nobody was coming up to get him after they passed? I mean, he fell to 17. I think there's a reason. I'm not sure Atlanta would have nailed that pick with anyone else. It is a huge surprise. It's strange thinking, but this is the way the draft is. It's the way coaching hires are. Sometimes they work out despite being bizarre logic. And honestly, I just think Penix is awesome. So at least they got an awesome quarterback.
It's funny because we're talking about Michael Penix Jr. gets drafted number 8 by the Falcons. The other part of this is a report that came out last night. Diane Orsini, I think Jane Slater, a few different people had it, which is that Kirk Cousins himself was really blindsided by this. The words were, I believe, shocked and disappointed because the Falcons said, hey, we might be in the market for a quarterback, but it wouldn't be until like a second round thing. Does Kirk Cousins have a right to be upset today?
No, absolutely not. This is a tough business. He knows it because he's taken advantage of this business time and time again. I mean, it's ironic because he was the backup. He was drafted in the 4th round the year that Robert Griffin Jr. III went second.
I love that.
Basically, he was Michael Penix to RG3. You know, he was the drafted backup, and so he had that situation. Honestly, and maybe he should have known. Like, the agent should have picked it up. Now I'm seeing more and more people had it. That Atlanta. Schefter had it on Monday. We talked about it. Our show talked about it.
Yeah, we did.
Multiple times. Brian Baldinger apparently tweeted out that they were drafting Penix this week. Ian Rappaport said yesterday on NFL Network twice that Arthur Blank wants to draft Michael Penix. Like, at some point, does someone text Kirk Cousins' agent and say, hey, people are talking about Michael Penix? Apparently not. Like, honestly, I think his agent put his head in the sand on purpose. So I was a little surprised that Kirk's agent came out and said that.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Like, just be cool about it.
Yeah, see, I didn't like the pick at all, and you and I will disagree about whether this was flawed logic for the Falcons or whether this was actually smart to get the quarterback of the future for when Cousins eventually leaves, but I can't get behind Cousins on this one. Like, you're shocked and disappointed. Get out of here. I mean, you're 35, you're coming off an Achilles, and you just made $100 million guaranteed. You have fleeced every team. I mean, You have one playoff win. How you've made $400 million. How dare you be shocked and disappointed? Like, that's what I would say. How dare you have the arrogance to be shocked and disappointed that coming off an Achilles, someone would dare to get another quarterback? Again, I don't love the move. Yeah. I think it's flawed logic. But for Kirk to be in his feelings about it, dude, get a grip. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, when they drafted Jordan Love in the first round, and that was in the 20s, remember, right? They traded back up in the 2020 draft. He said he poured himself like three fingers of bourbon or something and like had to take a real deep, hard look. Rodgers had already been in the organization for 16 years, won them a Super Bowl, had been the face of the franchise in a small market. There's a lot of pressure that goes along with that. Kirk's been here for 6 weeks. Get out of here.
Aaron Rodgers went on a 3-year tirade because of that pick.
And honestly, won two MVPs.
Kirk Cousins' agent sent out a note that he shocked Aaron Rodgers, literally scorched earth for 3 calendar years because of that pick. He was so mad. So don't tell me Aaron Rodgers wasn't mad.
No, I'm saying he was, but he deserved to be. That's what I'm saying. Oh, I understood why he poured himself three fingers of bourbon and was like, geez, I mean, what more do I have to do around here? You can't get me a wide receiver. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. You know, I'm here. I'm one of the greatest quarterbacks to maybe ever play the game. I get why Rodgers was ticked off. Kirk Cousins, not in Rodgers' class, cannot be upset about this.
You know, the Jets, who have Aaron Rodgers coming back, who was also on the McAfee show last night.
He was.
They might have taken a quarterback at 10 because I don't think that guy is going to be on the field for 18 weeks either.
I hate to say I told you so about that one. Knew the Jets were going offensive line. Yeah. Thought it was a good idea. We talked about that actually in our pre-draft Twitter spaces, which I thought went really well once we figured out the technological side of this thing.
Yeah, we had two Twitter spaces last night, apparently.
Yeah, right. Multiple feeds.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yep.
Yeah.
I liked it, though. Zach Gelb joined us from the afternoon show.
A lot of fun.
There was a piece, there was a rumor that had come out while we were doing that draft show. We did like an hour leading up to the first pick. And I want to circle back to that rumor because it never ended up happening last night and it would have been a blockbuster. I still think it's on the table for today. But meanwhile, you get to weigh in today. Your team, their pick. Open phones. 855-212-4227. We started with the Falcons because that's a shocker. You're welcome to weigh in on that. Is this going to work? Was this a smart pick to take Penix at 8? But your team, how you're feeling today, you are welcome to call us. You can also watch us. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. You can watch the show. I thought you were going to wear the Joe Burrow suit today.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot. I totally, completely forgot. But like, I said,
I'm gonna wear my draft outfit.
I said it on the Twitter show. Nobody reacted. They're like, "Yeah, hey, you're like, yeah."
We said great. We loved it.
Yeah,
I forgot. Laughed. There was too much going on last night.
Okay.
Yeah. Darn it, because I never have an occasion to wear my Joe Burrow suit, which is an old Halloween costume.
Yeah.
This would have been perfect. I've been dying to wear it. The coat fits me beautifully.
Really?
Oh, it's like the one coat I have that fits me, but you can't wear a flowery print coat that often.
It looks like wallpaper that would be in someone's grandmother's bathroom.
Oh, well.
It looks great on you, though.
I got to tell you, Maggie, I don't know if anyone here can give, you know,
fashion advice.
Fashion advice to Joe Burrow. He seems to have figured it out a little more than we have.
Yeah, fair. 855-212-4227. All right, we got it going with the Falcons. We will revisit this crazy rumor that happened yesterday, broke right before the draft, and whether this could come true today. You got 6 quarterbacks going in the top 12 picks. This is the first time we've had 6 quarterbacks since 1983, a draft that produced 3 Hall of Famers. How are you feeling about these quarterbacks? We've got more to unpack. Don't move. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. I'll tell you, one mystery for me was solved last night. Not how can the Atlanta Falcons draft Michael Penix at number 8, but why wasn't everyone talking about, I just don't see the flaws with Michael Penix. I don't understand why he wasn't even in that top 3 mix. Because the dude's got 10 3/8 size hands.
Mel Kiper brought that up right away, the hand size. You know, I know that's important to you.
Important. It's probably the number one set. Also, he has 2 torn ACLs and he ran a 4.5 240. Can you imagine if he had his regular ACLs? What he run?
Yeah, let's overlook the fact that they were torn at one point. You know, here's a funny thing, though, about the hand size crew. The hand size gang. Does it matter as much in a dome? If you're not playing in cold, it's about fumbles, right?
No, it's also it's easier to do anything when you have giant hands.
I get that.
Sports like in basketball, you look at any NBA player, his hands are gigantic. No, you just have you get a better feel for the
baseball
ball.
Pitchers, obviously. You get
a
better,
I mean, listen, you ever seen Lucas, your 4-year-old, hold a ball and try and throw it? He just can't grip it.
No.
So the bigger your hand, the better you are by definition.
I guess so. I thought it's all about fumbling and ball security, like Kenny Pickett or something. And if you're in a dome, like, what does it matter?
Well, you see, I mean, look at the way Pettix throws it way better than, I mean, maybe May throws it better, but he throws it better than Jay Daniels.
Yep.
He's right there. I mean, his arm is insane. So it's got to be because of the hands.
So he's 24 years old, and now he's going to be sitting behind Kirk Cousins for maybe 2 years. So he just was not the kind of guy who you thought needed to have that much runway before he could step into a starting role.
He's got 2 weeks until he turns 24. May 8th, he turns 24. Yeah, it's not like he's Chris Wienke. He's not 30. He's got 14 more years ahead of him in the NFL.
I'm just saying, if the Falcons really wanted like a guy who was going to be the heir apparent and to learn from Kirk Cousins, they had the Kirk Cousins clone who was right on the board with J.J. McCarthy. He didn't end up going to the to the Minnesota Vikings, traded up with the New York Jets to get from 11 to 10. It was obvious they were trying to hold off the Denver Broncos, maybe the Raiders. But
if you have Kirk Cousins, you're not drafting J.J. McCarthy. But I'm just saying, you might not even know which guy is which in the locker room.
That's right. Kirk, the Spider-Man meme.
Oh, is that J.J.? Is that Kirk? I don't even know.
Let's get to you, 855-212-4227. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you could have had a younger guy if you really wanted to sit him for 2 years behind Cousins. Josh is in Pennsylvania, really scratching his head over this Penix thing, just like me. Perloff likes the logic. Josh, how are you?
Morning, guys. So one of the most valuable things in the NFL is the quarterback on a rookie scale. So now you're going to only have 2 years to potentially evaluate Michael Penix before you have to sign him to a deal after?
Josh, 1 year. I mean, you pick up the fifth-year option on first-round picks after the third year. So if Kirk plays for 2 years, then Penix gets a year, and then you've got to figure out if you're picking up a fifth-year option that's $20 million because he's a top-10 pick.
Yeah, it's absurd.
Yeah, but the Packers picked Jordan Love, and they're fine. They're in great shape. I think most franchises would trade places with them in 2 seconds.
Yeah, Josh, thank you for the call. But what could they have had with that pick? Because if it had been a receiver that really could have helped Rodgers when Devontae Adams leaves, then are you talking about maybe ripping off another Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers?
First of all, Aaron Rodgers can't stand young receivers. So, no, I don't even think Rodgers would have thrown to whoever they picked at 20.
Well, they end up giving him young receivers anyways who were fifth-round picks instead of first-round picks.
They got Christian Watson in the second round, who's just as talented as any first-rounder. We just can't stay healthy. I think you and I do disagree on one thing. I don't think this idea that rookies are making like that much of an impact. Like, first of all, 32 picks yesterday, 16 are automatically going to be busts. A lot of them are going to need time to develop. We might have 5 or 6 real, real impact guys.
Let's go to Adam. He's in Toronto. Good morning, Adam. What's up?
Good morning, guys. Maggie, what the hell is wrong with our football team, Maggie? Why can't the Buffalo Bills do anything right?
I don't know.
What does Josh Allen have to do? Does he have to sacrifice his firstborn to get a first-round wide receiver? What is Brandon Bean doing? Why can't this guy get any weapons? He's a top-3 quarterback. At worst, he's 3, and you can't ever get him a first-round wide receiver. And not only that, you take the 28th pick, and you do a deal with Satan himself, the Kansas City Chiefs, and give it to them. What are we doing?
Adam, I'm with you. I stayed up. When we get up extremely early, and if you're talking to us, you're up early, too, wherever you are. We wake up extremely early, and I kept hanging on and hanging on. I'm like, the Bills are going to do something here. They're going to do something. I saw they traded with the Kansas City Chiefs. I wanted to run out to the front yard and scream. I'm going to be one of those people going over a barrel of Niagara Falls if they don't get a weapon for Josh Allen today. And now they sit here because they traded back twice, and they're going to have the first pick of the second round, and they're probably going to take the corner. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa.
Or Brandon Ayuk.
Better
get one of those two.
You know, Adam,
I am so sick right now.
Man, guys, I just give you my cell phone and we can just talk later? Because I'll talk about this till the end of time.
I need to vent with another Bills fan. This is terrible.
We need like a support group. And Adam, thank you, because it's a unique type of torture
to watch
your team trade with the team that has ousted you from the postseason multiple years in a row. And if somehow Xavier Worthy from Texas, who's the fastest guy in the draft, ends up becoming the next Tyreek Hill. And if he scores a touchdown against the Bills and throws up the deuces behind him as he's running into the end zone like Tyreek Hill did many years ago, I'm going to lose it. I've already lost it. Sorry. I apologize for yelling.
I thought you worshipped Bill Belichick. I mean, obviously, he's Mr. Trade Down. Every team in the league wants to trade down.
Okay.
First of all, and everyone had him mocked to a bunch of guys who none of them got picked. They're all still there.
I got to catch my breath because here's the difference. The board was breaking so right for them, just like it did for your Eagles. The board broke so right for your Eagles because Penix and Nix went high and because all these offensive linemen went high, your corner was there. Yeah. You didn't have to trade up for the Eagles, got theirs. It was breaking right for the Bills to have multiple wide receivers were right there. And honestly, I'd rather them take the pick and the guy not be as high on the board than give the pick to the Chiefs. There are certain no-goes. Bill Belichick would not trade with the Jets. You can't. There's certain X-nos. And to get a fifth rounder or something like that, unless Ayuk or T. Higgins are coming, this is an abject disaster to give Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes a weapon. How dare you? How dare you? It is an affront. Now, listen, we'll see what the rest of the day holds. I'm sorry, guys. I lost my cool, but this is how I feel. How dare you, Bills?
I don't know. Xavier,
we love you. We work for you. We pay our hard-earned money. We just want to see Josh Allen win, and this is how we're repaid. It's not cool.
Xavier Worthy is as meh as a receiver to go.
Put him with Patrick Mahomes, and let's see how he looks.
Dude, just like
you love Andy Reid.
Like
you said Andy Reid
like
can
MVS
do anything.
MVS was like running for all those large. That's
cool. Who held up? MVS was good.
He was. Oh, you think he was good? How many catches did he have?
Nobody thinks he was good.
Well, they paid him to be their vertical guy. Now they're bringing in Worthy.
He wasn't good in Green Bay.
He's a Super Bowl champion, guys. This is what happens when you get around Mahomes and Kelce and Reed. It doesn't matter. Kadarius Toney is a Super Bowl champion because of the Chiefs.
And he's been a disaster in Kansas City.
He won a title and scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Right. They could have gotten a guy in the sixth round who's going to be a Super Bowl champion. I just like that pick is like, that's what's sweating you, that they got Xavier Worthy at 26 when everybody has. The five guys that were mocked to the Bills are still there, and they're picking the second round. Probably they could trade down again.
Do you know what happened the last time the Bills traded with the Chiefs?
Boy, is it Sammy Watkins? Is that
no? It was Patrick Mahomes. The Bills traded with the Chiefs, and the Chiefs got Patrick Mahomes, and the Bills got Tre'Davious White. And because Tre'Davious White ended up being an all pro corner, and because they got at Josh Allen the next year, that little bit of history is sort of kind of brushed a little bit under the rug. It's back up now.
By the way, Chiefs got a rookie receiver last year who may not play much this year, Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
Xavier Worthy, way better player in college than Rashee Rice was.
No way.
Yes, he was.
Look at the numbers.
I'm looking at the numbers. 600 yards 2020, 600 yards in 2021. He had 1,300 in 2022, 1 year of production.
Right. What did Xavier Worthy do last year?
3 years of production. He's been a better player than Rashee Rice was.
It doesn't matter. See,
didn't Rashee Rice, 1,300 yards, it's massive for college.
This is what you're missing, though. Mahomes and Reed make everyone good.
Right, so why do you have to take them at 28? You already have the most expensive like quarterback. You can make anybody good, so who cares if they get Xavier Worthy?
Don't trade with
Chiefs. You might have Kool-Aid McKinstry just sitting there.
I don't know about him. There's questions about whether he keeps himself in shape. I don't want to deal with that.
Oh, come on.
You
get a starting cornerback in the second round. You need a cornerback. And also, or you could take the linebacker, too. Like, you guys, everybody the Bills want is still there.
You cannot trade with the Chiefs.
Can't do it.
Yes.
No, come on.
Absolutely.
Come on, you guys got to be more analytical about this because this idea that you don't trade with a rival, that's long gone. The young analytic guys don't even care.
It's not. To me, that's very much alive.
That you're like one of the old school guys sitting around Billy Bean in the movie Moneyball. You can't make any decision based on quote unquote a rivalry. That's not the way to build a team at all.
This might be one of the best rivalries we have in the NFL right now is Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. And who got a weapon and who didn't in the first round?
Yeah, who wasted a first round pick on Xavier Worthy and who didn't? The Bills were going to take a quarterback at 28 probably anyway. They're just going to take one at 33. Does this make any difference in the long term?
I mean, I can't. As a fan.
Worthy scoring a touchdown on the Bills this year.
Thank you.
Mark it.
As a fan, I can't handle this. Bogus is here. He's got headlines. Enough about me. How are you doing? You want to talk about your team?
Well, actually, I was the one hoping to come in here and ruffle your feathers about this.
Because
it wasn't just pick 28. They could have also went wide receiver at 32 after that initial trade. But
the Buffalo Bills have traded the 32nd pick to the Carolina Panthers. With the 32nd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Carolina Panthers select Xavier Leggett, wide receiver, South Carolina.
Another wide receiver that's not going to Buffalo, but at least you have 2 second-round picks and 4 fifth-round picks after all these moves.
I saw a great tweet from my friend Brad Ziegler, former MLB pitcher. The Bills, it's the first time, probably only time, the Bills will know what it's like to pick at number 32.
See? Again, and you're wondering why I get upset about them handing skill position players to the Chiefs.
It's nice to pick at 32, but I guess they didn't even want to do that.
Yeah.
Skill position players, what are we? This is not a fantasy football team. First of all, there are 8 receivers sitting there for you, and second-round receivers are always better than first-round receivers. This, you know, this is not going to hurt
there's
your
31
team.
What
does that mean?
There's 31 other teams they could have traded with, in theory.
I looked at a stat the other day of the top, last year, this year was a little different, of the top, like, 15 receivers, 12 were picked after the first round, or at least after 20. You can always find receivers, and you know that.
No. You can always find receivers. I'm not debating that. I'm just, the sentence of second round receivers always better than first quickly brings to mind, like, Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase and guys like that. They seem to be better than
good.
Yeah, those guys are first round picks.
AJ Brown, pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, who are the best two receivers? Like, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill.
We still have more so
but
far.
The thing about that,
DK
though,
Metcalf,
that goes to evaluation. That's evaluation. That's not just like there's a magic potion and the second round receivers are better. Maybe the Bills are smart and maybe they do have a second round receiver who's going to be better than these guys in the first round. Yeah. They could have also just taken them in the first round and had the fifth year option so that they're not having to give these guys a boatload of money after 3 years.
So
there's a financial aspect about this, too. The Bills are already in financial hell. That made this ridiculous last night.
Right, so the Panthers are smarter than the Bills. That's where we're at now?
Well, this is maybe there's still a trade for one of the big receivers, but again, that comes with it a very big financial toll if you're going to pay a Brandon Ayuk or something like that. Let's get off the Bills for a second.
Okay.
Back to Bogut.
But if that decision was like a 2 on the confusion scale, the 10 is Michael Penix at number 8 to the Falcons. That's the headline from a night that began with 14 consecutive offensive picks from Caleb Williams to the Bears to Oregon State tackle Talese Fuaga to the Saints. There was no drama with our QB bet, with 6 going in the first 12 picks. Jaden Daniels to Washington, Drake Mays in New England, Penix, J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings, and Bo Nix in Denver. So get ready for whatever the heck Pete drills are.
Get those knees up.
Oh, my God. Pete's been waiting for this moment your whole life, haven't you?
That's right.
Let me set the scene. So EJ lost the bet to Perloff about how many quarterbacks were going to go in the first round, and it wasn't even close. I mean, it wasn't even – we'd have to think about it. We'd have to sweat it out.
Mm. Although I thought when J.J. McCarthy was passed over by the Giants, I thought we actually were going to get into the sweat, and then nope, never mind.
When Penix got taken, Perloff just sent to the group text, Penix! Yes! Yeah. So, and EJ, head in the hand. So EJ – The bet started that someone was going to have to run gassers.
Which is what I still accepted. And I've been accepted. I don't know. Perloff's the only one that accepted this Pete Drills crap. I'm not accepting Pete Drills. I said I'd run gassers. I'll do gassers.
You're not curious what Pete Drills
is? Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. Curiosity.
I'm not curious about it. I don't care about it at all.
Wait, so it was gassers first with Pete Pilotti on the whistle. And then it turned into Pete's middle school football team drills.
Because Perloff offered basically a way to cash out for EJ, and EJ declined that, and we just devolved into Pete's unnamed, nefarious, possibly scary Pete drills.
I accepted the cash out. It was you and Pete.
Oh, that's true.
I'm not allowing this.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, well, I'll just run the gassers. I think Perloff's going to win. And then it became, what if Perloff's like, maybe I'll just do Pete drills. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm running the gassers.
Well,
always do the devil you know
for
the devil you don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Pete, you definitely have to tell us what the drills are at some point. Like, I need to know that desperately.
Pete saying get those knees up is like nightmare fuel.
I'll give you one thing that's in those drills.
Yes.
It's leg lifts.
Yeah, no.
Leg lifts. 10 leg lifts.
That's when you lay on the ground, right? And,
right.
Yeah, and you're on your back, and the legs go down together and then up. It's all core.
5 seconds.
Abs, right?
Okay. 5 seconds. One, you go down. You lower your legs every second, and then you get to the fourth second. You get a 5, and you hold them there until I say 5.
That is the hardest exercise on earth.
Yeah, just put me on the goal line. I'll just keep running.
Honestly, like climbing Mount Everest has to be easier than that.
What? This is a Pilates class or football drills? What are we doing here?
It got us ready.
The last time I did leg lifts, you want to hear a funny story? The last time I did leg lifts, I was at a youth church gathering where we were supposed to just kind of like do like Bible study, and eventually it developed into like
a push-up contest,
peach drills apparently. And one of the major things were you ran gassers and did leg lifts.
It's like it was Corinthians 5:18.
I love. A shout out to the Baptist church I used to go to. It was weird. I don't know why we were doing.
It got competitive.
I feel like Pete might have been in this church somehow because we were doing that exact thing.
Wouldn't a Bible study like the opposite would be competitive? It's like peaceful and everyone gets a say. And
yeah, no, it was none of that. It was everybody get on the base. Everybody get on the baseline. You're gonna run 10 gassers and then do legless right after. I'm like, what? I didn't sign up for this.
Also, we have not indicated how many gassers you're gonna run.
Fair.
Did anybody watch It's Always Sunny?
Yes.
Charlie work. That's what I keep thinking when I hear Pete drills. Like, it's the same thing.
You mean like killing rats?
Yeah, like Charlie Work was like cleaning the urinals. Like, yeah. Nobody else wanted to do like Pete drills. Seems like an all-encompassing.
And the leglifts are one of many things that happen during Pete drills.
Can any of us actually do leglifts?
I did some yesterday. Now, the counting thing seems weird, but I can do leglifts.
The worst is when you get down, like, you're supposed to be like an inch off the floor with your heels. And then they're
four.
Like, flutter kick.
Flutter kick's the worst.
And my coach would go four and a half. 4 3/4.
This guy sounds
four
like
and
a
seven
jerk.
Eighths. It was great. Got
Bill
us in great
Parcells,
shape.
Bill Parcells, your middle school coach.
It was the best shape I've ever been in.
In middle school?
Yep.
Bogus back.
Leave that
you.
One alone. Thanks, guys. Pre-draft, we got reports that the Eagles are signing A.J. Brown to a 3-year extension with $84 million guaranteed. Joel Embiid did it all last night in Game 3 with the Knicks. Big scoring outing, possibly dirty play. And a medical revelation. Let's start with those points.
20 seconds to go. 5 on the clock. Maxey against Hart. Over to Embiid for 3. It's up and good. Are you kidding me? Another 3. Tom Thibodeau, I was looking at like, what is going on? The Sixers are pouring in 3s.
Tom McGinnis on Sixers Radio. Embiid scored 18 of his 50 in that third quarter as the Sixers pulled away. They beat the Knicks 125-114.
Yeah,
now trail in the series 2-1.
You know, really good when you purposely injure your primary defensive
assignment. We're getting there.
You're pretty good when you do that.
Embiid given a flagrant one in the first quarter when, while on the court, he grabbed Mitchell Robinson's right leg as Robinson jumped up to lay the ball in. The Knicks called it dirty. It was. Embiid said he was just protecting himself from Robinson falling on him, even though he pulled Robinson down onto him, basically. But then, I guess on a more serious note, post-game, Embiid revealed he's been dealing with Bell's palsy.
It's been tough, but, you know, I'm not a quitter, so got to keep fighting through anything. It's unfortunate. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
But that's not an excuse. Got to keep, you know, pushing.
The condition is temporary but could last for months. It's affecting the left side of his face, including his eye. He needs drops to keep it from getting too dry. All of this on top of the recovery from that knee issue. The Nuggets took Game 3 with the Lakers in L.A., 112-105. That's a 3-0 series lead. The Magic on the board with the Cavs, a 121-83 route in Game 3 in Orlando. Guys, back to you.
Bogus, thank you. We'll get more into Embiid's medical diagnosis a little bit later and what we saw in that game along with the Lakers going down 0-3 to Denver, as Bogus just said. Coming up next, top quarterbacks going off the board quick. Who's going to work out and who is walking into a hornet's nest? We'll get to that next. It's Maggie and Perloff. There you go. Drake May, third quarterback off the board. They went 1-2-3 last night, and then 6 quarterbacks in the top 12. It was Michael Penix with the surprise pick at 8. You had the Vikings straight up one spot to get J.J. McCarthy. That was at 10. And then you had Bo Nix, who went to the Denver Broncos at 12. Here is Gerard Mayo, the new head coach of the New England Patriots, on Drake May and what he loves about him.
One thing about Drake, and we kind of talked about it this past year, they also had some holes on offense. And the thing that most impressed me about him, he would get smacked and just get right back up, right? And that's the same trait. You know, you had a guy like Tom Brady, not saying that he's Tom, but just that mentality. Same thing with Joe Burrow. Like, those guys just keep getting back up and continue to play at a high level. And that was like that aha moment for me.
Yeah, no pressure, kid. Just got compared there. The toughness of Tom Brady and also of Joe Burrow. Listen, he might have to get up from a couple big hits because he's not really walking into the best situation. You know, this is an obvious full rebuild. But let's hear from Drake May, Cut 17, Pete, because he said he thinks it's wrong to say the Pats have one of the worst situations right now in the league.
I think they're wrong. I think, you know, they had that defense last year, you know, had a lot of teams at low points, and, you know, looking forward to helping anyway in the offense, offensively, and just looking forward to being there with Coach Mayo in his first year. Congrats to him. And, you know, I think anybody who's saying that, I think, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll find out this coming this season. Just going to, you know, work hard with the guys and, you know, prove them wrong.
So that was a little of Drake May. Now, we were talking about Bill Belichick, who was on the Pat McAfee Show broadcast last night, and it was refreshing. Whatever you think about Belichick and his draft record, it was refreshing that he was giving an honest evaluation. And it was all backed up by film. You know, everything was backed up, and Bill Belichick was very skeptical about Drake May. So first, let's hear 23 Pete. He gives the evaluation of May and says he's inexperienced.
A very talented kid, good size, runs well, has a good arm. Just he hasn't played very much. He really doesn't have a lot of experience.
Which is kind of crazy because he was a two-year starter. Let's hear cut 25. This is when they're showing May throwing an interception on the screen. And Belichick continues his analysis.
Here's a late throw over here. Wiggins picks it off.
That's going to happen.
The route was supposed to come back to the quarterback, I heard.
You know, again, kind of open receivers down here. We got to hit them. And, again, kind of, I'd say, too quick to scramble and get out of the pocket. Of all the quarterbacks, he was the lowest rated in the pocket thrower.
Also, Belichick weighing in on the comparisons to Josh Allen.
Well, I think that's certainly a top need for him. It's quarterback, tackle, and wide receiver. And so, you know, this is one of the top needs. You know, Drake compares himself a lot to Josh Allen. He has been doing that for quite a while. We'll see about that. I think there are some similarities in terms of, you know, size and athleticism. Josh Allen's a pretty special player now.
Okay, so you got a little Bill Belichick analysis there, and you got Drake May going to the New England Patriots. How quickly do you think this is going to work?
Not quickly. You know, one thing I'll say about Belichick, first of all, his draft, he's never drafted a good quarterback. Who's a good quarterback? He drafted Tom Brady, passed on him for 6.5 rounds. He wasn't even his first 6-round pick, so I am skeptical.
Well, Jimmy G, I think, was a fine quarterback. The injuries really killed Jimmy, but he wasn't bad.
Jimmy G was good. Jacoby Brissett is actually pretty good,
too. Yeah, it's going to be a starter.
But anyway. Regardless, the thing is, a lot of people wanted Drake May, and is everybody wrong with the Giants and the Vikings both dead wrong about Drake May and the Patriots? Are all three teams wrong about him and he's going to be a bust? That's why the only thing that makes me think, oh, maybe a lot of people saw something in Drake May, and I can forgive New England for taking a developmental quarterback.
I don't have a problem with the pick, and I think it's definitely they needed the quarterback. And you heard Belichick there. I think if Belichick is sitting in that room, they're not taking him. And they might not be taking a quarterback. Maybe he's still trying to make it work with Mac Jones. I have no idea if they would have tried to keep, you know, forcing that situation. But I don't know if Belichick at 3 actually would have taken Drake May or a quarterback. I think he would have traded out.
Well, he did take Mac Jones. Why do you think?
Well, that was at 15, though, wasn't it?
Right. But I'm not positive that he wouldn't have taken a quarterback because, yeah, he took him at 15. He'd never taken a first-round quarterback before that. So the trend is he's moving up in the draft. If you look at history.
Crawling up.
Yeah. You know, I didn't get to see as much of Belichick. Did he dislike all the quarterbacks? Is there a guy that he seemed to crush on?
I'll tell you next. Who Belichick loved last night? We'll get to that in a moment. Plus, we want to hear from you. How did your team do last night? Phone lines are open. 855-212-4227. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff, Infinity Sports Network.